tonight there's more doctrine we're going to talk about and more examples of how to live, Christian living, how to live, what to be like, what to look like. The doctrine is good. It's a progression in what God has done for us and what God does for us. It's a progression. He shows us mercy, and then on top of that, He gives us grace. On top of that, He gives us hope. So it keeps growing in what He gives us. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Just chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. So let's pray. Lord, thank You for tonight. And we do look to You for strength and for Your word. We need it, and we're empty without You. We do confess that, Lord, and fill us up now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we learned in chapter 2, we learned in chapter 1, we kind of got to go back to the beginning of Titus and kind of do a recap of what we've learned so far. Because chapter 3 is starting to, it's only a 3-chapter book, so it's starting to wrap up or conclude on everything that he said. We learn in chapter 1 that he was writing to Titus. We learned who Paul was, who Titus was, who God was, who Jesus was. We talked all about that. Then it says, I want you to set a few things in order. The church there is lacking. The churches there are lacking. They're out of order. Here's, starting first with the leaders. Set in order good leaders. And he talks about, and then we compared and contrast the leaders versus the others that were there. The others that, the Cretans, really. And they were, a prophet of their own says that they are lazy gluttons. But you need to, so he said, do you want to get with this? Do you want to get with the leader crowd? Or do you want to get with that? You want to get with the lazy glutton crowd. It's your choice. You got to want it. You got to go. You got to go to what's right to be a leader. That's how we can apply it to us if you're not called to be an elder or pastor right now. And then it broke it down even further where it talks about the aged men, the older men. And then it goes down to the older women and then the young women and then the young men. And it tells us what we should do. Temperate, we learned, was a big theme. Not hot or cold, but balanced, really, of what we need to be like. Living balanced in this world. Temperate. Sober. I have to pause and tell you a dream I had last night that deals with sober. I will never look at this verse again the same way. I dreamt that there was a physical lion roaming the streets of Roseville and Sterling Heights, and we would see it. And it was hungry, and it was after people. It was after my sister, it was after my mom, it was after Ayana, and it was hungry. It was dangerous. That is Satan. It's Satan. We have to be sober. The Bible says the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. If we are not sober, man, he's going to snatch us up. And we were going around telling people, you got to watch out. You got to watch out. And it's, man, I will never look at that verse the same way. When it's real, if you're thinking about it in reality of a lion roaming your streets, goodness, that's what temperate means, sober. It translates into. Then we had some good doctrine, and it wraps it up. The grace, God's grace, and what it does for us, it saves us, and what God, and he wraps chapter 2 up with say, speak these things, talk about it, rebuke, exhort, and then rebuke if you have to, but speak them first, and then exhort and rebuke. Now chapter 3, he kind of pulls it back. He went into those age groups. He pulls it back to everybody. How is everybody supposed to be? Everybody in the church. And here we are. Let's see what he says. Remind them to be subject to rulers. This is everybody. Everybody in the church. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. So it gives us this list of characteristics of what we're supposed to be like. And unfortunately for us, it doesn't give any caveats, or it doesn't give any guidelines, or it doesn't give any excuses here. We went to a funeral today, and Sarah said, I've never been to a funeral, and got convicted. When they were talking about, it was a sweet lady. She was a wife of an elder in the church I grew up in, and she was always sneaking the kids candy. I remember that was my first memory of her sneaking us candy, and she loved kids, and they were talking all about her. You know, this... And she, the son-in-law gets up and he says, let me start off in saying, I'm rude, I'm inconsiderate, I'm stubborn, I'm self-willed. He's like, why am I talking about me at a funeral? He says, I'm telling you this because in 41 years of being a son-in-law, I never had words with my mother-in-law. We never got an argument, and that was due to her, because I'm not like that. And she was all of these. I can genuinely, based on the testimony and knowing her, it was all of these. And we, you know, Sarah, this is very current for our lives, as the Bible always is, and I pray it's current for you. Gentle. You know, I can be extreme. I'm either really too gentle or I'm too harsh. And God's balancing us out, that temperance. But it doesn't say, you know, be gentle when others are gentle around you. Or it doesn't say, be gentle when everyone's nice. Or be gentle when, you know, it says be gentle. You know, to obey rulers. Authorities, you know, we don't like Obama, or if you don't like Obama, I'm just, I shouldn't assume that, but it's easy to do that. Okay, sorry. To be subject to them, and we have, you know, some interesting laws coming out. As long as it doesn't violate what God's word says, we need to be subject to him. And I'm just going to share this. Unfortunately, my mom got a traffic ticket today. And he said, you know what I'm stopping you for? And she said, I honestly don't know. But she was going 5 over, and they got her. So, but it was silly. But she's got to be subject to it, you know, be subject to those that are over. And they're in authority. To obey. Verse 3 goes into, we have no excuse to judge. We have no excuse to judge. You know, well, we can say, oh, but, I always say, but Sarah's not being gentle with me. Okay, I'm bad here. No, we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Before we knew God, before we were believers, even when we are believers, we can fall into some of these sins. But we have no room to judge. Another quick story is, I have an office in Port Huron at the Blue Water Bridge. And we went up there this weekend, and we're actually at the bridge plaza. So you, like, park under the bridge, and you go up in the bridge. It's kind of fun. And these people are the harshest, brashest people that you ever did want to meet. Like, you step in there, and it's like, I got overwhelmed because it's so, like, whoa, in your face. They're yelling and screaming. And today, we went this week, and we were doing training for them. We were training them in Excel, and wow, the atmosphere totally changed. And I was judging. The first time I went there, I'm like, I was judging them so much, and I was saying, you know, oh man, these people, they're rude and crude and God was teaching me that, you know, that's how you were. You have no room to judge. You were disobedient. You were foolish. We went in there kind of with love this time, and they melt with God's love. That whole atmosphere was different. They melt with God's love. If you just take away that judgment and take away that any accusation, and you go in there with God's love, people melt. They eat it up. And they were like, you know, no one's ever thought to train us. You know, no one's ever thought to pour into us. They were saying, and we're like, hey, we're here to help, you know, however we can help. We kept saying, we get paid to help you. So, no. But hey, we have no room to judge. And then the second point here in verse 3 is, let's not go back there. You know, we were once. Let's not go back. That's just stupid. Let's not fall into various lusts and pleasures and malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. Man, I'm surfaced in all this stuff that I'm teaching on it. It's coming out of me. I don't want to go back to all that. Let's fight through and live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 4. Here's some more doctrine, and here's where it starts to build. It builds on each other. But, it's going to transition here, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, here's where this love and kindness starts pouring out. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. We already established that. It's not anything we had done. You know, we were once foolish. We were once disobedient. We weren't obeying the authorities. Not by anything we have done. According to his mercy, he saved us. Now in chapter 2, it says the grace of God that brings salvation. So grace and mercy are both involved here in our salvation. But mercy, what is that? Well, we're going to start with this progression. It's saving us from hell, right? Saving us from punishment. Saving us from eternal punishment. Okay. Well, that wasn't enough with God. God didn't stop there. By saving us through Jesus Christ, let's watch this build here. But according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration. So he washed us. He regenerated us. He made us alive. He made us anew. He made us clean. Okay. He could have stopped there. But he keeps going. He renewed us. He makes us afresh with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon our lives, we're a new creation. Okay. It doesn't stop there. We got to keep going here. Whom he poured out on us abundantly. The Holy Spirit is poured out abundantly through Jesus Christ, that having been justified by his grace. Okay. Now, this, we have to go to Romans 3. I loved it in the commentaries. It says, and for an explanation on grace, just study Romans 3 through chapter 8. So for the next 3 hours, we will be doing a Bible study on Romans chapter 3 through chapter 8. No, no, but it's where it talks about it. But we read this verse, I think we read it last week. It's verse 23 and 24. We're kind of jumping in the middle of the sentence, but it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus. And there's more to the sentence, more to the paragraph, more to the... It talks about it through chapter 8. Challenge you to read that. We're not going to go into it more. But justified. I was at a Bible study with all young people, and we were trying to, maybe college age guys and gals, and we were trying to understand what justified was. And we were like, well, I heard when I was a little boy that justified is just as if I never sinned. Okay. And then we're like, wait a minute, no, there's more to it. Just as if I've never sinned. And then someone else said, it's kind of like, okay, you have like a dead man on, and we were getting all graphic, and it's a dirty dead man, and everyone was like adding to it, and we're like, no, he has to have dirty clothes on too, and dirty feet. It was funny. Okay, so you have a dead man laying on the floor, and you put a white cloth over him. No, that's justified. We're like, no, that's not it either. And we're like, okay, so it's a dead man, and now he's totally standing up, he's alive, and he's cleansed. And they're like, no, there's more to it. And so somebody older piped in. He's like, okay, imagine Jesus's righteousness placed on you. And we're like, yeah, we were never going to get there. It's like way more than we could think of. You know, Jesus, all of Jesus's righteousness, all of his goodness attributed to us, attributed to me, what? Attributed to all of us. That's justification. It's not, it's just as if we never sinned, but it's as if Jesus were in our place. Justification. All that is good about Jesus, when God looks at us, you know, another one was Jesus is in the middle, so when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. And he's like, and then we were like, no, there's more. We had to keep building on it, but it's awesome. So from mercy, here we are all, you know, here we are at justification. It still doesn't end there. We're in the middle of verse 7. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Wow, there's a lot there at the end of that verse. Again, we were... My mom... In the church, she's at another person died, and it was her husband. I'm sorry. There was a lady in the church that I grew up at, and her husband just died, and now her brother just died, and the brother didn't have any family, the brother didn't have any. All the other siblings have died. She is the sole survivor. She is the sole heir. So anything that he has, she now has. And it's all going to her. And now she's like, she's 80 or something. She's like, I don't need all this money. She's getting all this money. It's like, she's distributing it out. But heirs, anything that God has now belongs to us. Okay. Is this blowing your mind yet? Like, it's... Yeah. That's what I was thinking, too. She's getting a $500,000 anyway. But, with God, we just read, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Who's going to ask me, do you want something to eat? God says. God says, are you going to ask that to me? Do you want something to eat? Hey, God, can I fix you something to eat? Can we ask God that? He says, no, you can't even ask me that. I own everything. That's in Psalms 50, I believe it is. So everything that he has, he's given to us. Now we are heirs through Jesus Christ. Okay. Wait a minute. We're not done yet. If this is not blowing your mind, then, you know, there's more. Wait, there's more. Now we have hope. According to hope, we have a home in heaven. We have eternal life. Forever with the Lord in the goodness of his presence.
in, when does eternal life start? Another theorized question, we were talking about it, when does eternal life start? Eternal life starts now. when you accept Jesus, eternal life starts now, and it keeps going forever. So, so all this, in the light of all this, I pray that it makes it easier to do verse 1. You know, verse 1, we look at it and it's like, oh, it's this overwhelming list. I'm, you know, I can never live up to that, gentle and evil to no one and peaceable and humility, and man, I fail every day. But, or, you know, I don't know if I want to be all that. That means, no, because of what all God has done, because of where He's placed us, because of the position that He's given us, you know, this becomes a reality. It can become a reality as we walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, and as we yield to Him. And then it makes us grateful for everything that God has done and all that He's giving us, from all the way from mercy, and each as it grows, and there's more, and it keeps growing. So I'll read verse 8. We'll talk more about it next week. But this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. So this is faithful. What he's saying is true, is faithful. God is good, faithful, and let's keep talking about, these are for believers now, for those who know God and who want to live, who want to choose to live for Him. So that's what he's saying. Live for God. Everyone. He brings it back high level. Everyone, live for Christ, and because of all that God has done. So that's all we have for tonight. We'll continue on in Titus next week. Lord, thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for the justification and the hope, eternal life. It just keeps going. It's mind-boggling when we think about it, and make it a reality in our lives, as we don't want it to be something far off and something that, you know, your grace, something far off, but something that we experience and we hold on to and we utilize and we embrace and we accept. And then as we accept it, we can give it out to others, and to not judge and not want to go back to our sin, but to press forward and do what you have us do. We thank you for this healthy and good, profitable doctrine that you have for us tonight. And pray that it sinks in, and that we can be doers of the word, not hearers only, Lord. We thank you. Give us wisdom as we go forward, and ears to hear. We hear on Sunday, ears to hear what you have us hear here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now it's time for photo ops. All right, do we have one more song? I think we need one more song.